Добрый день. Спасибо, что вы выбрали компанию Phil Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 300 тысяч фит. И еще ватка. Наш полет включает Porsche. Я еще хочу упоминать Чернобыль. And now, here's Phil.
Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We have a call from Mint Hill. Yes, sir?
Yeah, this is John Gibson from Charlotte.
How you doing, sir?
And I just don't understand why this lady is sitting here ridiculing everybody who calls in and asking them about their lives when it has nothing to do with the people who are calling in.
Now, you're referring
to Phil Henry's life here.
You're referring to the lady who was interviewing me about my life and her questions to me, correct?
That's correct.
All right, now she's not on the line. Can you get her back? Or get someone back from the... Who do you got on the line? Her husband, Frank? Let me see if I can get Frank. Margaret Gray is her name, the lady that was doing the interviewing, sir.
Yes, sir.
And her husband, Frank, I think is on the line here from Santa Monica. Frank, how you doing?
Good.
This gentleman has got a problem or something. You there, sir?
Okay, what's his problem?
No. You have a complaint?
You're talking about my wife?
Yeah, I was talking about your wife, why she's out here ridiculing and asking everybody what their background is, what their jobs are and everything else.
She was talking to you or was she talking to your girlfriend?
She was talking to my girlfriend earlier, correct.
I mean, what's that got to do with you?
Well, because it's my girlfriend, that's what it's got to do with me. Well, what has it got to do with you? Why did you call in?
My wife. Well,
we're
going
to start asking questions here again?
No, they called me. They called me and they said they want to talk to Margaret. She's indisposed at the moment.
See, what now? They called you?
Well, they called my house.
I thought this whole show was about Phil Henry.
No.
This ain't about John and Julie. This is about Phil Henry.
You got to call in. You
have a show going on here, and you're sitting here trying to ask me questions now.
No, I'm just saying, what are you calling for? You want to talk to my wife is who you want to talk to. She was the one that was asking all the questions.
I didn't call to talk to your wife. I called to defend Phil Henry because she's sitting there jumping all over
him.
That
you had a problem about
him questions, and then anybody who calls in, she wants to ask them about their lives. It's not about people's lives here in North Carolina. It's about people. Phil Henry.
No, my wife said that apparently she said that your girlfriend's father was an alcoholic.
Yeah, she said that. Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you asking me questions again? Why are you asking me questions about this?
You had a problem.
I have a problem?
Yeah, with the fact that your father-in-law is an alcoholic, right?
No, I don't have a problem with anything.
Well, you don't want to get in my stuff, man.
Do what?
You don't want to jump in my stuff.
Jump in your stuff?
Right.
About what?
Well, you're getting in my face about it.
I'm not in your face. I'm on the telephone with you.
Well, what's the problem here?
Look, can I say something?
You called in, you're asking me what's the problem. I don't know. What's the problem, buddy?
You called me.
I didn't call you. I called Phil Henry to defend him.
Well, let me just jump in here.
No, I got it under control, Phil. What's the guy's problem?
Well, he said that his girlfriend was called, her father was called an alcoholic. Isn't that right?
Yeah, your father
was an alcoholic. All right, well, what did she say?
What?
What'd she say?
Who said what?
You just said her father's an alcoholic?
That's what your wife or girlfriend or
That's
whatever
my wife.
Saying.
That's my wife. 35 years she's been my wife.
That's great. I'm happy for you, but what has this got to do with us? This is about Phil Henry.
In the beginning,
wasn't it?
Well, I don't know.
She was interviewing me, Frank, okay?
I was interviewing you?
Yeah, she was interviewing me, and she was talking to me about my life, and then when this man's girlfriend called in, she referred to her father as an alcoholic.
What?
Yeah, dancing around. Your like she knows everything that's going on.
Well, she said
is she a psychic now? She knows what's going on?
Hey, she said the guy had cirrhosis of the liver. I mean, what do you think causes that? Too many juju bees? Come on, pal. Cirrhosis of the liver is from booze.
That's booze.
It's booze.
Whole point is...
Hey, is that the broad? The broad's screaming in the background, put her on the phone.
Hey.
What?
Okay, you want to put... Let's put her on the line.
Get the broad on the line.
All right, hold on a second.
Hey,
put
the broad screaming in the background, put her on the
phone. I'm on the phone now.
Okay, what's the problem?
Let's just drop it here because the whole point was I was saying I can see how Phil was feeling because my father, that I did not know very well,
exactly.
You know how that goes,
yeah,
in North Carolina, that is. I didn't know him very well, and he did die of cirrhosis, and it was a hard thing, and I didn't even know him. So I couldn't imagine really knowing a father. But the whole point is...
Ma'am, can I ask you a question? Could you turn your radio down?
A second to answer.
Could you turn your radio down? Turn your radio down. That's all I'm asking.
Sorry?
Turn your radio down, because we can hear it in the background.
Okay.
Please. All right.
I apologize.
No problem.
I really gave your wife compliments.
If you didn't know him, why is it so hard? If you didn't know your father, why is it so hard?
I didn't say it was hard. It was hard.
Oh,
I'm sure.
It was not hard for me.
I could imagine somebody losing somebody that was really close to him. But anyway, back to your wife. I condone her for what she's done with her life. I think it's great.
Thank you.
But the yelling on the phone. Come on, Phil. Come on.
Hold on for a minute.
That's ridiculous.
Hold on for a minute.
But I'm not trying to make enemies. Good luck to all of you.
Let me get on the line here, Frank.
I got it under control, honey. She hung up.
Once again, no guts.
All right, I don't want to keep going with this, okay? If she hung up, she hung up. If she's upset, she's upset. And you know what? It didn't have anything to do with her. It had to do with me, okay?
What are you talking about my wife?
Frank, nobody's talking about your wife.
You guys talking about my wife.
No, he wasn't, man. He was saying that she was asking impertinent questions of me, okay?
Well, she does.
Yeah, I got all about that. That's what she does, okay?
You got this juice hound calling in. And
she's not a juice hound.
She had her old man died of cirrhosis.
Old man died of cirrhosis, yeah, but she, I mean...
Well, what even causes that?
I guess booze causes that, man. I'm not sure. But the point is that it's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with me.
Nobody messes with my wife and nobody jumps in my junk.
Nobody jumps on your junk, huh?
That guy was trying to get my junk, all right? And what I'm trying to say to you is my wife, Margaret, is a very, very intelligent woman. She's doing a great job. And maybe if she'd have a couple of cocktails, that's fine. I have a cocktail.
What are you doing? You're having a cocktail?
I don't even drink.
And you're getting all over this lady's husband, father because he was drinking and he had just a cirrhosis of the liver.
No, Margaret said the guy had cirrhosis of the liver. He's an alcoholic, okay? So that's the whole problem. The guy's got a problem with me, man. And that guy, is he out there?
No, he's not here.
I had to tell that guy who was talking to me from North Carolina, man, hey, you want to talk to me about it face to face like a man, we can go at it.
He's not causing a fight. He doesn't want to start a fight. We're just talking about what happened here on the air and the fact that I called, she called me or whatever. She said that her father was an alcoholic. That's the only point, okay?
It's not a big problem.
Doesn't look like a problem to me.
All right. Because I don't want to have to, you know... I don't want to bring on the pain, Phil, and...
Ida, you don't have to bring on the pain.
You know, I like you, and Margaret likes you, and...
Yeah, well, if she likes me, she wouldn't have asked me all these questions about, do I love my father and all of that stuff, okay?
You know, these drunks calling the show, and...
I don't have drunks calling the show. She referred to her father as having cirrhosis of the liver, and that's that, okay?
Well, all right.
You feel better?
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, you know, the fact that my wife, you know, she does what she does. Everybody picks on Margaret, they pick it on me, okay? You hit my wife, you hit me.
Nobody's hitting your wife, man. Take it easy, okay? Take a real big, long drink of the chill potion. Nobody's hitting your wife.
All right. Because I can bring the heartache like anybody else.
I know you can bring the heartache. I know you're a big attorney, and I know you've got a lot of money. Everything's cool.
Everything cool with you?
I'm cool.
You cool with me?
Yes, I'm cool with you.
I'm cool with you.
Okay, we got no problem then, okay?
I'm cool with you, Phil.
You're cool with me?
Yes.
All right, let's just back away.
All right, I'm backing up, man.
Be cool, boy. You remember that song?
What song?
Boy, boy, crazy boy. Stay cool, boy. Ba-do, ba-do.
Yeah, I got it already. Be cool, boy.
Easy does it. Easy.
I got it, Margaret.
You know the song?
Yes, I do.
Be cool, boy.
I'm cool. Jeez, get rid of these guys. All right, Brad Rifkin coming up next. We're going to talk fitness on The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. It is The Phil Henry Show. And we have Brad Rifkin with us. He is with Rifkin's World of Health. It's in the San Fernando Valley. We want to talk about a method of training, physical fitness, that he calls confrontational and truth-driven training. Brad, how are you tonight?
Phil, I'm really good and enjoying your program this evening as always.
And how are you feeling, man?
Feeling great, and when you're in the fitness business, you're always feeling good, and that is what Rifkin World of Health is about, and that's what our confrontational and truth-driven training is about. And Phil, what we always say, and you know that I've said this on occasion, when we talk about people who have a fitness problem, and really what we're discussing here, the number one thing that people want to do today, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but the manufacturers of FenFit and Redux are being sued. And
yes, I did. I saw the news.
Right. Why? Because there's a lot of people who are interested in losing weight. You can talk about toning. You can talk about building up your muscle. You can talk about aerobic health. But most people, right off the bat, are interested in losing weight. That is what we specialize in. That's what our confrontation on truth-driven training is all about. And I can tell you, it's worked for a lot of people.
Now, this is a kind of, you not only have a gym, but you're also a personal trainer, right?
I'm a personal trainer. We have about 15 people on staff who can go out individually to people's homes and businesses and train through an aerobic style. We use treadmill, we use exercycle, we use road work, we use weights when needed. But I'll tell you right now, you don't start off with weights. You start off with aerobics, and I believe very much in a treadmill. I believe very much in the exercycle, physical fitness, and that is what it's about. Phil, what we say at Rivkin's World of Health, and what we believe in, it's a long, long journey from the refrigerator to the treadmill. It is, for some people, 1,000 miles between the refrigerator and the treadmill. But I'm here to tell your listeners tonight, it is entirely possible. You can do it, and you can do it if you confront, and you allow other people, I think, to confront. And that's what we're all about. We have people that we have helped by this confrontational method. And
what do you mean by confrontational? This is direct, right? This is truth?
That's right. You don't sugarcoat. You tell them. But you do it in a way that is not going to put them off. You don't walk up to somebody, for instance, Phil, and say, you know something, you're really fat and you need to lose weight, because that is obviously going to put them off. What you do is you begin to plant the seeds in the minds of that person who is obese or that person who has that weight problem in your life. You begin to plant the seeds that eventually will flower forth into great fitness. One of the people we're working with right now is actually friends of my wife's, who work at her office, and we've become pretty good friends with them. They play cards at our home. We've gone on some vacations together. The wife, her name is Colleen, all right? I'll give you her first name, and she is probably about 40 pounds overweight. Now, they spend time at our home. They come over for cards, maybe sometimes dinner. One night, my wife is serving pesto pasta with bread, and I said to her that this is going to be a temptation for Colleen, because Colleen's about 40, 45 pounds overweight. She's what we call our little butterball, and she really needs to drop some of that weight.
Now, you're not going to walk up to her and say, hey, Colleen.
No, you're not going to say, hey, Colleen, you need to lose weight. But what I do is, every time they come over, I get on the treadmill. We have a treadmill set up. We have an exercycle set up in our living room, so that when Colleen walks into the living room, I'm working on the treadmill. Now, what is that doing? That's planting the seed in her mind that every time she comes over, she sees me on the treadmill, and she sees me on the exercycle. And I'll say to her, hello, Colleen. I make eye contact. It's very important to make eye contact. Hello, Colleen. Working on the treadmill. She'll say, hello, Brad. Every time I'm over here, you're on the treadmill. That's planting the seed in her mind.
All right, but when implanting the seed in somebody's mind by just simply being on a treadmill, there's more, right?
Absolutely, Phil. What you do is you plant these seeds by saying, if you see somebody walk into your home, as I have seen, 30, 40 pounds overweight, really obese, and you say to them, you know, have you seen a treadmill before? Are you interested in a treadmill? Are you interested in an exercycle? Have you thought about that? For instance, they came over for dinner one night. My wife's serving a pasta. We had an argument about that.
And why?
Well, I said, you know, you've got a woman coming over to our home who you know is about 40 pounds overweight, and you're serving a pasta and bread and butter. And we had a little bit of an argument about that. My wife believes, well, you got to treat yourself. I don't think so. So I walk over to the refrigerator. Colleen's standing there. And
now, this is your overweight friend, right?
This is my wife's friend, right.
Okay.
And I said, look at this broccoli. We got broccoli. Let's do something with broccoli tonight. Let's do something with carrots tonight. And I'm making eye contact with her at all times. This is very important, so that even while I'm speaking to my wife, or maybe I'm speaking to Colleen's husband, Richard, I'm looking at Colleen and I'm saying to my wife, let's do something with broccoli. Let's do something with carrots. Let's do something with salad, celery. Let's do some things. But I'm making eye contact.
So you're staring right at the obese woman.
Staring at the woman who has the weight problem, right. And I'll say, so Colleen, would you like to try out the treadmill? Have you tried out an exercycle? Never, ever saying to her, I think you're overweight, because you don't want to put the people off that way. You don't want to put them in a defensive position. But one of the things I do say is, you know, it's a long way from the refrigerator to the treadmill, but the journey of 1,000 miles, Phil, begins with one step. And I'll be working on the treadmill, and I'll gradually sending the message. Hey, Colleen, have you ever seen one of these? Have you seen an exercise cycle? Because I need to break through with her. I go over to the refrigerator. We've got a lot of broccoli tonight. Let's have some broccoli or something. Her birthday was last week. Colleen's birthday was last week, Phil. What we did was we got her a dance skin.
Workout clothes.
Workout club. Workout kind of dance skin with some workout shoes. And we gave her this. We had a birthday dinner for her. You got to have a birthday cake, okay?
All right, now you've got an overweight friend that you've invited over to your house, trying to steer her toward the treadmill, trying to get her onto the exercise cycle. Now you're serving, and you've given her a dance skin.
Gave her some workout clothes, right.
Now you are serving birthday cake.
Well, here's what we do. As soon as she cuts into the birthday cake with her fork, I turn the discussion towards sit-ups. Okay, this is what I mean about the subliminal message.
All right, so she's eating the cake.
She's eating the cake, and I said to my wife, I'm up to 100 sit-ups today. I'm up to 100 sit-ups. I'm talking to my wife, but I'm making eye contact with Colleen. So that as she is shoveling, and I say shoveling, I say that with great affection, but that's the first thing you do in breaking through.
You refer to her eating as shoveling?
She's shoveling, right. And as she's shoveling the birthday cake in, I say, I'm up to 100 sit-ups, but I'm talking to my wife. My wife's name's Vicky. I say, Vicky, I'm up to 100 sit-ups, but I'm looking at Colleen, and she can't help but look at me. So as she shovels that birthday cake in, guess what's happening?
Is she feeling guilty?
She's starting to feel the guilt. That's exactly right. And that's where the confrontational technique begins to work. So as she shovels that birthday cake down, I look at her and I say, I'm up to 100 sit-ups. Hey, let's get on the treadmill. And she starts to, now she realizes that she's shoveling that cake in, and she's shoveling down that birthday cake, and I'm talking about sit-ups, I'm talking about treadmills, I'm talking about exercise cycle. We gave her a dance skin. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I imagine now she's beginning to get the subliminal message, or not so subliminally, that she's overweight.
Yeah, but nobody has ever said anything to her like, you're fat, you need to lose weight. So that's where it begins, and that's where our technique begins. I'd be happy to help any of your listeners who've got a weight problem this evening. We'll also discuss further how things have moved along with Colleen, and I think it'll be very interesting.
All right, it's the Phil Hendry Show. Brad Rifkin is with us here, 1-800-449-8686.
Chopstick. 我们今晚的特别嘉宾是 Jackie Chan 先生 还有一题的是 Fortune Cookie. And now, here's Phil.
It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about health tonight with Brad Rifkin, who is the owner of Rifkin's World of Health in the San Fernando Valley. And he is talking to us about what he calls confrontational, truth-driven training. Now, for instance, in the case of a friend of your wife's, she's overweight by about 40 pounds, Brad.
That's correct.
And she comes over to the house, and you're on the exercise cycle.
And I'm on the exercise cycle, or I'm on the treadmill, and every time that I want to make a point with her, I make eye contact, and I say to her, let's have some broccoli, let's have some cauliflower, and I say to her, you know, I'm doing sit-ups. This is every time she puts up, so she starts, and I use the word shovel, okay? And
why do you use the word shovel?
Because for people who have a weight problem, and for people who are dealing with this weight, the battle with weight, you start to have to influence them by using language that is not so subtle and might not be so flattering. So if I'm talking to somebody who is overweight, I'll say, well, you're shoveling the birthday cake as opposed to you're eating the birthday cake. You are shoveling or siphoning the pasta as opposed to eating the pasta. And I never forget one night Colleen was over to our house. She was putting bread, she was putting butter on a piece of sourdough bread, some French bread.
Right.
And she's putting the butter on it. And I said, would you like to shovel some more butter? And it was very, very subtle, okay? But she looked up at me, and I could see there was just a hint of recognition.
You were offering her more butter?
I said, do you want to shovel a little more butter? Use the word shovel. Suddenly, they realized that they're not just eating. They're like a steam shovel sucking that down. And this makes them realize, okay, what they're doing, and that's what we're talking about. Now, we have had a breakthrough with Colleen. We gave her the dance skin for her birthday. We've given the impression to her that she does need to do something about her weight. And by the way, her husband said to me to lay off, and I said, I don't lay off the confrontational method. Because she started to get some tears in her eyes one night. I said, those tears don't indicate that I've upset her. Those tears indicate that I'm hitting the truth, Phil, and that's very, very important.
All right, let's go to Greenville on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, sir.
I got to say that I got to disagree with Mr. Rifkin. Instead of beating around the bush, he should offer her a membership maybe to his health club. Tell her, you know, she knows she's overweight.
I don't think she does because of the way she eats.
Yeah, but that's the disease. It's a disease. Overweight's a disease. Instead of saying have some broccoli and showing her on the bike, say, you know, be truthful with her.
Well, that's going to put her off. What you do is very subtly say, you want to shovel some more food, that kind of thing, because I believe that that is the, it's confrontational and direct, but it doesn't put them off. Are you in fitness?
I'm not in fitness, but I work out 4 or 5 times a week.
All right.
Give her a membership to your gym.
No, that's not going to work. Give her a membership to the gym, she's going to reject that. But if you very subtly say to her, you know something, for instance, I'll give you an example, all right? She put the dance skin on. We had a breakthrough with her. She went out jogging with us a couple of weeks ago. She had on a dance skin. Now, obviously, a woman that's 40 pounds overweight, what do you think she looks like in a dance skin?
I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, that's not too good, right? But we carry a piece of chalk. And what I do with the chalk is I will circle areas on that black dance skin. Here, look at this here. Here's some area here you need to work on. Here's some area here you need to work on. And you know the biggest area for women to work on, don't you?
The thighs?
You know, the thighs and the rear end, right?
Right.
So you draw a big circle on that rear end, like it's a target. And what I do is I draw a big target on her rear end there, and I say, that's the target, that's what we're working on. It makes them think about that.
Is she jogging down the street with us?
Jogging down the street with a big target on her ass, okay? So that she knows that's the target, that's what we're working on.
Overeating and weight problems is a disease.
Well, that may very well be, but it's a discipline and character problem. A lot of these people who are overweight, their character is suffering.
Right, it's a low self-esteem.
Well, more than that, there's a morality problem.
I just think
okay, there's a low moral.
What do you mean low morality?
Well, they're not the best people, okay? They're morally bankrupt in some areas, so they've got to raise themselves up. That's what we're trying to do. You paint that target on a woman. Do you have a girlfriend, sir, or a wife?
Yes, I do.
All right, she works out with you?
Yes, she does.
Well, do you have friends who might want to work out with you that are overweight?
I do have overweight friends.
All right.
And yeah. I encourage them to come to the gym with me, and I encourage them to work out with me. I don't tell them to stop shoveling the butter and that, you know, make sure they see me on the treadmill when I'm in my house. I just think that...
How's your wife look?
I don't have a wife. I have a girlfriend.
How's she looking?
I think she looks great.
All right. But, you know, if you were to paint a target on the ass of one of her fat friends, she got any fat friends?
Yeah, she's got some overweight friends.
All right, you get them into a dance skin. You get a piece of yellow chalk. You can buy that at any hobby store, okay? And you paint that big bullseye on the ass.
I'll just embarrass her.
I'm sorry?
That'll just embarrass her.
No, that gives her the target. She wants to lose weight there. Okay?
And what are you doing? You're jogging down the street with her?
You let her jog down the street, right. With a target painted on her ass.
You're going to have people laughing at her with this big target on her ass.
No, you're not.
It's going to make her feel even worse.
No, you're not. You're going to have the... First of all, you're not jogging with her. Okay? You understand that?
Oh, you're not jogging with her.
No, she's got to jog maybe 10 steps behind until she starts to lose the weight. And the more weight she loses, the closer she can get to you guys.
Well, I have no... I agree with
you. All right, so it'll motivate her to decrease the size of that target.
I agree with the jogging part, but I don't agree with the subliminal messages.
Well, I tell you,
so you got her... she's jogging 10 feet behind?
You don't want to have some big, fat, broad... you know, jogging with you, you keep her 10 feet behind until she starts to lose the weight. Then you get let her move up closer.
Right. That's not what I disagree with. I disagree
okay.
with the shovel and the butter and stuff like that.
All right.
That's just rude.
You should try it because we do believe in a direct approach, but I appreciate your call.
All right,
sir.
Phil.
Thank you very much. Here is Sherman Oaks on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi. This is Patrick.
Yes, Patrick. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Nice to hear your show. I heard the first hour, enjoyed it, and this is an interesting topic, and I totally disagree with your guest there.
Is that it?
Yeah, well, I just don't feel that those are good methods, and I don't think there's any subtle way to tell somebody about the fact that they're shoveling in food in their mouth.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm getting a lot of people calling here. What's your expertise?
My expertise is as I've been in recovery from alcoholism for about 12 years.
What's that got to do with fitness?
What it got to do with it is people are not going to do a lot of exercise. Well, let's put it this way.
Are you drinking? You stopped drinking, right?
I did.
All right, so somebody can stop eating.
Right, but I'm not disagreeing
and
with
how did you stop drinking? How did you stop drinking?
People can do good things for themselves.
You just
I'm disagreeing
drinking.
With your methods.
What's wrong with my method?
Because your methods aren't subtle and they're hurtful. They're not going to help anybody, and people that don't want
what's
to hurt? Do it are not going to do it anyway.
What is hurtful? You got to be specific. What's hurtful about my method?
And telling people that they're shoveling food in their mouth? I mean, come on. And you just called up.
Well, let me ask you something.
Women fat three different times in the last conversation with the last caller. I mean, come on.
If you were an alcoholic,
about that.
If you were drinking, and I said to you, what's your name, Jimmy?
Patrick.
Patrick, if I said to you, Patrick, you're really sucking that booze down, wouldn't that make him send a message to you?
I'd say something to you that I can't say over the radio when I was drinking.
Oh,
you know,
but
now you can say whatever you want
but
about
you
it
had
because I fixed my problem.
You had to quit, didn't you?
Pardon me?
You had to quit because you were sucking that hooch down.
That's true.
The
and
same
now
thing
you
with
can
Colleen.
Say anything you want now. I'm talking
right,
about...
Right, but I'm talking about somebody who's in the throes of eating too much. She's shoveling down the butter. She's shoveling down all that bread and pasta. I got her out there in a dance skin. She's finally jogging, okay? So look at what I've done. I've got her out exercising. I'm not going to let her jog with me.
And put a target
reasons.
On her ass and not let her jog with you? What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid of her. I'm not afraid of anything. I think you are. I will not allow her to be jogging with us until such time as she loses her weight.
I don't buy that.
When you were drinking, we wouldn't let you in our house until you stopped drinking, okay? People wouldn't want you around,
that,
all right? That's what I'm talking about. So if you're drinking too much, who wants you at the party, okay? And if you're eating too much, why would anybody want you around? So she can jog 10 feet behind me, and she'll get the message that until such time...
The guy hung up.
Well, of course he hung up, because he's an alcoholic who doesn't understand that the very things that got him to stop drinking are the things that I'm trying to get these people to do, all right? Now, if a guy's drinking too much, you want him in your house? No, you don't. If someone is fat, you don't want them jogging with you. And
all right, so you keep this person 10 feet behind you when she's jogging...
With a target painted on her ass, and I'll tell you why, Phil.
Isn't that humiliating, though? And isn't that what the caller is talking about?
I don't think so. I'm not trying to humiliate her.
Then why do you have a target painted on her rear end?
To let her know. The target is to get that fat off of her ass as fast as she possibly can. And the more fat she drops from her ass, the more she can move up toward us until, like, if she loses 10 pounds, she can move up a couple of feet until she's finally jogging with us. Okay, so you get that fat girl who always wanted to be jogging with some really physically fit people, because you've seen people jogging, haven't you?
I've seen physically fit people.
Yeah, and they look very impressive, don't they?
Well, I've seen a lot of people running down the street who are in pretty good shape, yeah.
All right. I mean, you know, a lot of people would like to look like that, and I don't think there's anybody listening to your show tonight that wouldn't want to be allowed to jog or train with really physically fit people. I mean, a lot of people see physically fit people running down the street and think, God, I wish that I could get out of my car and be seen with them. But you can't be seen with somebody that physically fit until you start to drop all of the fat off of your rear end, off of your thighs, and that's what we do.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Brad Rifkin of Rifkin's World of Health about his technique called confrontational or truth-driven training. And what you do basically is you feed these messages to the overweight people who come to your house that they're overweight by saying, have you ever seen an exercycle?
That's correct.
And if they're, for instance, you know, sitting down to have something to eat, you bring up sit-ups.
Start talking about sit-ups and make eye contact.
You also mentioned that if you're in the kitchen and they're about ready to prepare some pasta, you make eye contact and talk about broccoli.
All of these things, Phil, designed to get these people into a mindset where they need to be. They got to drop that fat. Now, once you get them into a dance skin is very tight. You put a dance skin on a woman that's 40 pounds overweight, that's, you know, that's rough. That's pretty rough to look at. But that's okay.
And well, what do you mean rough to look at?
You know, she comes walking out of the house, It's hard not to laugh. But what you do is you take that yellow chalk and...
All right, the lady has come out of her house in a dance skin. She's already gotten up the courage to do that. And you're circling the fat areas with a piece of yellow chalk.
You circle the fat areas. And you paint a big target on the rear end. And then you say to her, Colleen, because you're 40 pounds overweight, you can't jog with us yet. But once you start to get better looking, then we'll let you jog with us. Once the ass fat begins to diminish, that target gets smaller the closer you get. And then finally she gets to jog with us, and the target drops off the ass. It's as simple as that.
All right, Brad Rifkin, 1-800-449-8686. It's tough. I don't know that it's tough love, man, but it sure is tough stuff to paint a target on someone's rear end as they jog down the street in a dance skin. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Brad Rifkin with us from Rifkin's World of Health. You've got some methods on getting people to lose weight that a lot of people are taking exception to, Brad.
I understand that.
You are painting targets on their rear ends. You got them in a dance skin. You won't let them jog with you.
All of this, Phil, is designed to bring them into an awareness of themselves. I will tell you that Colleen, and let me just give you the story on Colleen, and we'll go to another call. Colleen has started to lose the weight. Okay, we're allowing her to get closer and closer to us as we jog. The target on her ass is getting smaller. And I'll tell you something, we're now into step two with her. We've had a breakthrough with her.
And she's not humiliated.
She was early on, but she recognizes what she needs, what I need from her. And I brought her into the house, and I walked her over. We had Jed from the store came in with a Stairmaster, put in the living room. And I walked her over to the Stairmaster, and I said, Colleen, I need for you to tell me, what do you think this is? There was a flicker of recognition in her eyes. She looked around it. She walked around it. I said, this is a Stairmaster. And I could see the flicker of recognition in her eyes. She recognized it as a piece of physical fitness equipment, and we made a breakthrough. That's what we're talking about. I'm not into abusing people. I'm into getting them to see the truth.
All right, let's go to San Dimas on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
Brad.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, I'd like to let you know that I am a female that's 35 years of age.
How much do you weigh?
I was 100 pounds overweight.
Wow.
I'm down. Wait a minute.
No, good for you. How much did you lose?
First of all, Brad, let me talk. I'm down to about 30 pounds from my goal. Now, first of all, I think bringing to awareness, you have a very abusive personality, and I think Colleen probably likes the chains and the whips at night. The bottom line,
I'm not commenting on the lady's sexuality. You are. Why don't you have a little class? That's very classless of you to say something like that.
No, it's not classless.
It's totally classless of you.
I think that your methodology is classless. Because
you're bringing up chains and whips. What's that got to do with anything?
First of all, any time that she would stand and allow you to abuse her verbally by telling her in front of friends, families, or other kind that she's shoveling butter or shoveling spaghetti.
But you know what I'm talking about. Well, you are 100 pounds overweight. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do understand that there are certain issues that are in people's lives.
How much did you shovel?
That cause them at one time or another to become overweight. Well, that's
a long-winded
way. Lack of self-esteem.
That's a long-winded
way. I think that your methodology is very weak, and I think that you need to go to school. You need.
All right, we got a lot of people. Hold on, we have a lot of people talking over each other here, and if we can have a dialogue.
No, but the lady said she was 100 pounds overweight at one point. She, of all people, knows what I'm talking about when I say shovel it down, right?
Hold on.
You know what a Stairmaster is, right?
Yes, I know what a Stairmaster is.
When you were overweight, when you were overweight, when you were 100 pounds overweight, as you have admitted to us here, did you recognize a Stairmaster? Did you know what that was for?
I knew exactly what it was for.
You did?
But I didn't use a Stairmaster to lose my 80 pounds.
Well, what do you mean that Colleen had a flicker of recognition?
Because the more fat she had hanging off of her ass, the less the ability to recognize a piece of workout equipment. Okay?
You know what? Wait a second.
And when we finally got her down, and we got her weight down 30 pounds, she started to, oh, look at that. It's a treadmill. Okay?
But, Brad, it didn't come from you.
How about
it
you?
It didn't come from embarrassment.
You know what,
it came from her decision to want to lose the weight. I don't think that it has. You don't have to be embarrassed into losing weight.
Did you ever get a target painted on your ass?
No, and you know what?
Well, then why would you?
I wish my husband would. I wish my husband would.
Paint a target on your ass?
Paint a target on my ass.
Yeah, you know something? You know, that's a very healthy instinct. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about your husband zeroing in on your ass. But before he can zero in on your ass, you got to zero in on your ass.
But you know what, Brad? Here's the situation.
Did you zero in on your ass?
My husband recognized the fact that I was overweight, but that didn't measure the consistency or the love or the...
That's a lot of baloney. What we're talking about here is whether...
Why is that a lot of baloney?
Get out of it with the love stuff. I'm talking about whether your fat is hanging off your butt when you're jogging down the street like a bowl of Jell-O, for crying out loud.
Oh, well, then, you know what? My husband didn't have to jog. You know, normally when you're over 40 and 50 pounds overweight, Brad, believe it or not, you can't jog.
Do you know what
you can't jog. You have to walk. You know what? I didn't jog.
Did you shovel butter?
You know what? You know what?
Wait a second. You shovel butter.
I think Colleen needs counseling. Because
what are you asking this lady?
Put up with you.
I want to know.
Using her verbally like this.
Wait a second.
No, I didn't shovel. I never shoveled butter.
You never shoveled sour cream.
I never stuck up any spaghetti. And
wait a second.
You know what?
Wait a minute. How could you be 100 pounds?
What personality you have?
No.
You know, what are some of your vices?
It's confrontational, and I know that it hurts. Did you shovel the ice cream? What did you shovel?
Why don't you say just eat?
All right. Did you eat ice cream by the quart?
No, I didn't eat ice cream by the quart.
About a half gallon?
No, it just depends on your metabolism as well, Brad.
Did you drink whole milk?
No, I didn't drink milk at all.
Did
I can't drink milk. I'm allergic to milk.
When you drank, did you guzzle?
No, I
You didn't guzzle a shovel?
You are amazing.
Did you guzzle a shovel?
You know what? You know,
what are guzzling and shoveling?
I see, I'm getting through to her because she understands what I'm saying.
You know what? Because
she spent a large portion of this young lady's life was spent a large portion of her life shoveling, guzzling, and siphoning.
You know,
now
you know
she's
where my
into that period of her life.
Brad, let me tell you where my weight came from.
She takes one pee on a fork.
I had a set of twins, Brad.
A set of twin what?
I had a set of twins.
What?
I gained 60 pounds.
Twin what?
During my
kids.
Pregnancy.
She had twin kids.
Oh.
I gained 60 pounds during my pregnancy, and until my children were about a year and a half old, I had, over the course of about a year and 15 months, no, about a year and 5 months, gained 100 pounds.
Oh, my God.
I am down 80 pounds and 30 pounds to go, and guess what? When I was 100 pounds overweight, my husband never treated me any different than I was when we first got married. You know what, Brad? I really feel sorry for Colleen.